House Committee on Human Services, today, April 13th, 2009. And colleagues, we're going to be carrying over House Bill 2205, 2905, and 2413, right?
And 3065,
and
I'm sorry.
3065?
Yes, I'm good.
Okay, and 2413.
Would you repeat those numbers again,
sure.
please?
2205, 2905, 3065, and 2413.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I will open up a work session on House Bill 2883.
This bill creates a public task force of at least 11 members for the purpose of studying the public guardian and conservator services in Oregon. There was a fairly significant fiscal impact to this bill initially, and the Dash 2 amendments, which are recommended to adopt, removed the monetary appropriation, allowing the task force to accept donations of staff support, office space, and equipment from advocacy groups so that they could perform the duties while not impacting our budget this year. The Speaker's office has agreed that the fiscal is minimal enough that we can remove the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay. So have we accepted any of the amendments?
We have not done anything on this bill. We need to adopt the amendments and pass it if that's the committee's intent.
So, well, one of the amendments conflicts with the other amendment?
We're just going to adopt the Dash 2.
Dash 2 amendment.
Yes.
Okay. Great.
And there's one for each of you.
Okay.
Representative? Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. I move to adopt the Dash 2 amendments dated April 7th, 2009, and to House Bill 2883.
Representative Olson moves to adopt the Dash 2 amendments. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Not the amendments are adopted. Thank you, Representative.
Madam Chair, I move the House Bill 2883 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded.
Representative Olson moves that House Bill 2883 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be rescinded. Any discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Maurer. Aye. Representative Maurer. Aye. Representative Maurer. Aye. Representative Hoffman. Aye. Representative Freeman. Aye. Representative Dembro. Aye. Representative Callen. Aye. Vice Chair Olson. Aye. Vice Chair Boone. Aye. Chair Tomei. Aye.
The motion, having garnered the required majority, passes. The bill is sent as amended to the floor. Is there anyone who would offer to carry this bill?
Madam Chair.
Yes. Great. Thank you. Representative Cowan will carry the bill on the floor. Thank you so much, Representative. And thank you, Committee. This is a good bill. And we close the work session on House Bill 2883. Are you okay, Representative?
I just had a little coffee. I'll be okay. Don't make me talk.
We won't make you talk.
Put on that.
I have no CPR card, so you're on your own, Debbie.
Here.
Unless you have your CPR card.
I'll do it also.
You need a trach. Okay. We're going to open up a work session on House Bill 3022. Keeley.
House Bill 32 was the expedited partner therapy bill allowing practitioners who diagnose patients with gonorrhea or chlamydia to prescribe antibiotic treatment both for the patient and the partner without an examination of the partner. The committee amendment allows medication to be prescribed and dispensed without a patient's name if prescribed or dispensed for the partner of the individual who is diagnosed. So the Dash 2 amendments are recommended to be adopted, and this bill has no fiscal impact.
Okay. colleagues, we heard this bill in March, and I think we're ready to...
Okay, Madam Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 2 amendments dated March 25th, 2009, into House Bill 3022.
Representative Olson moves to adopt the Dash 2 amendments dated March 25th, 2009. Any discussion? Any objection? Bill is amended.
Madam Chair, I move that House Bill 3022 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Olson moves House Bill 3022 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Okay. Zach, will you call the roll, please?
Representative Cowan.
Aye.
Representative Denbro.
Aye.
Representative Freeman.
Aye.
Representative Hoffman.
Aye.
Representative Mallon.
Aye.
Representative Van Orman.
Aye.
Vice Chair Boone.
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson.
Aye.
Chair Tennant.
Aye. The motion, having garnered the required majority, passes. And
actually, I think Representative Denbro would be an excellent choice.
Representative Denbro.
I'd be happy to.
That would be terrific. Representative Denbro will just carry the bill. Okay. So I close the work session on House Bill 3022. We're moving right along here. Okay. So I'm going to open up a work session on House Bill 2897.
This bill requires that when a court determines that a child or ward should be removed from a home or continued in care, that the court include in its written findings whether there were relatives or persons with a caregiver relationship available for placement and the reason that placement did not occur. There was a committee amendment. It requires that a court make written findings about the court's reasoning. So it doesn't specifically require the reason that placement didn't occur, but rather the reasoning when the court determines that a relative is not in the best interest of the child. This has no minimal expenditure impact and no revenue impact.
Okay. And we have a Dash 1 amendment, right?
Yes.
Okay, Madam Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated March 31st, 2009 into House Bill 2897.
Representative Olson moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated March 31st, 2009. Any discussion? Any objection? So amended. Representative?
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2897 as amended to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Olson moves House Bill 2897 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll, please.
Representative Van Orman.
Aye.
Representative Mallon.
Aye.
Representative Huffman.
Aye.
Representative Freeman.
Aye.
Representative Denbro.
Aye.
Representative Cowan.
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson.
Aye.
Vice Chair Boone.
Aye.
Chair Tomei.
Aye. Having garnered the necessary votes, this bill passes. I know that Representative Wisnett would like to carry this, so we will ask him to be the carrier.
Yep.
Thank you. I close the hearing, the work session on House Bill 2897. Thank you, Committee. And I open up a work session on House Bill 3466.
House Bill 3466 creates a voluntary database within the State Police Law Enforcement Data System that provides information to assist law enforcement officers in identifying individuals in need of medical, mental health, and social services. We did receive a fiscal impact statement. The anticipated fiscal impact for the coming biennium is $62,875, and this is Representative Olson's bill that he was working on earlier in the session.
Right.
Oh, well.
Representative Olson.
Madam Chair, I don't know if you want to have a little bit of explanation on the fiscal regarding
sure.
it or not, but David Yandell and Terry O'Connell are both here from Law Enforcement Data System that you might be able to share.
Absolutely.
And I actually have copies if the committee would like those.
Yes.
Well, Madam Chair, I see Terry brought his bodyguard with him.
I'm glad. So, okay, go ahead.
Good morning, Madam Chair. My name is Terry O'Connell. I'm Director of the State's Law Enforcement Data System for the Oregon State Police. We've been asked to create a database under House Bill 3466, which would help individuals be who have contacts with law enforcement and have issues with those types of contacts to be able to have the law enforcement officers would be able to be provided that information when they had that contact. Our proposal to create this database is to modify a current existing records management system that we have in LEDS, which would allow the medical health people to put that information into this records management system, and then we at LEDS would build an interface to take the information out of that records management system and provide it to the law enforcement officers when they do a query for that information.
Thank you. Representative.
Yeah, thanks, Terry. Madam Chair, I move that House Bill 3466 to the... Well, actually, this has to be moved to Ways and Means, isn't it?
Correct.
Yeah, to Ways and Means, then, for consideration.
You still want to do, I think, a do pass recommendation with...
Subsequent referral
okay. To the Ways and Means.
Okay, then I would move it to Ways and Means with a subsequent referral with due pass, though, from this committee.
There you go.
Okay. Let's have a little discussion about this, colleagues. Would you tell us some about the fiscal and how you're feeling about that?
Committee members, initially we were trying to hope to be in the ballpark, be truthful with you, at about $50,000. This is, and I appreciate what Terry has done for hard work in obtaining the information regarding this, where it's at $62,000. I really would like to see this bill move forward, mainly because of the help that it would provide for families as well as patients out there, but law enforcement itself. I understand where we're at right now with our situation for the economy and for our budget and everything. So, you know, I don't take lightly $62,000. I just flat tell you that right now. I would like to see this move forward, and would appreciate your support with that.
Representative Van Orman.
Thank you, Chair Tomei. A question for Representative Olson, please. In terms of access to the data, I have been thinking about how you might do that in existing systems. And then my thinking is that the existing systems are probably not that accessible, or there probably isn't any way to do that unless you create your own.
Yeah, and Terry O'Connell is, still here, so he can really explain that. But you really do have to kind of have a separate base for the data that's being collected here. More so for the entry level than it is from the access level. And maybe...
Madam Chair, Representative Van Orman, the way that we visualize this happening is we have a records management system which is secure, meets FBI information security standards. The medical health practitioners would log into this records management system and put the information in there that is required under House Bill 3466.
Okay.
We then at LEDS would build an interface to go and capture that information out of that records management system and provide it to law enforcement officers when they do a query for that information.
Okay, thank you.
Colleagues, there's been a long history about this bill, and Representative Olson and I have worked some in the past regarding this issue of very often people are impaired, and when a police officer comes in contact with them, then it can be frightening both for the person who is impaired as well as for the police officer. And so the idea was, of course, to set up a database so that a police officer could immediately access us and understand that a person might be under a physical impairment and would have more understanding and be able to hopefully to approach it differently. I think we had all along hoped that the fiscal wouldn't have been as high as it was. But I support this bill, and I'd like to send it on to Ways and Means and let the Ways and Means Committee decide whether or not this would be appropriate to fund for this legislative session. So any further discussion? Okay, so we have a motion. Do I have my script. Representative Olson moved House Bill 3466 as amended to the Committee on Ways and Means, right?
With the DPAS recommendation.
Any further discussion? Okay, would you call the roll, please, Zach?
Representative Cowan.
Aye.
Representative Dimbro.
Aye.
Representative Freeman.
Aye.
Representative Huffman.
Okay.
Representative Mao.
Yes.
Representative Van Orman.
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson.
Yes.
Vice Chair Boone.
Aye.
Chair Tomei.
Aye. Having received the necessary votes to pass this bill, we're sending it on to the committee to Ways and Means with the DPAS recommendation. Thank you, committee. I close the work session on House Bill 3466. And I open up a public hearing on House Bill 2207.
This bill changes the name of the Criminal History Registry to the Central Background Registry. The Dash 6 amendments, which we're being asked to consider, permit a Metropolitan Service District to enter into a relationship with the Child Care Division for the purpose of requiring district employees to be enrolled in the Criminal History Registry. It provides for the full recovery of the cost of participation in the agreement by the Child Care Division from the Metropolitan Service Agreement.
Great. And we have three people who have signed up to testify: Mary Rao, Randy Tucker, and Tom Olson. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Tom Olson. I'm administrator of the Oregon Child Care Division. And House Bill 2207 is brought before you today. It started out as a housekeeping bill. We've had some concern on the part of the folks that the Child Care Division licenses that the name Criminal History Registry has unintended implications. Folks have confused it with the Sex Offender Registry. Other folks have thought that it gives the impression that somehow that they have a criminal history if they are in our registry. And so at the request of some of our constituents and the folks we license, we've made a decision to change the name to Central Background Registry, which is a little warmer and fuzzier and less onerous. And so that's the bill that that we originally brought to you. I think Mr. Tucker and Metro will explain the amendments that you'll see.
Great. Thank you so much.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Mary Rowe. I'm Human Resources Director at Metro. Representative Tomei, it's a pleasure to be here in front of you in this capacity, as I've met you on several occasions as a lifelong resident of Milwaukee and one of your constituents and former HR director there. So it's a pleasure to be here. I'm here really as my capacity as Metro HR director and also as someone who's been involved with children for many years, volunteering with SMART and in the schools and Head Start programs and Scout programs, et cetera. This bill is of significant interest to me in both capacities. We are submitting Zoo Director Tony Vecchio's testimony to you in writing for the record. I've got him busy with interview processes today, and he was unable to be here with us, but I will highlight a few of his comments here in a moment. At Metro, we serve over 4,000 children every year in summer camps. We're quite proud of the complement of programs we've developed for children in the Portland metro area. And we feel that the parents are rightly trusting the safety of their children to us when they drop their children off at our camps. And we want to make sure that the children entrusted to us are safe, and we take that very seriously. I think all of you can agree that that would be an expectation of parents when they're leaving their children at a reputable, noted camp, and would also be concerned about the safety of any children in that situation. As a mother, I certainly had that expectation that my children would be safe when I left them at camps when they were that age. At this point, Metro is doing the best it can with the tools available to us to ensure that safety. going through a background check for those that are working directly with children. However, the tools that are available to us are not the best tools out there, and we do not feel that they're adequate to do the job of protecting the children. The reason being is that there are a number of commercial services out there competing for business. However, those commercial services out there are not reliable and do not do complete checks of databases. The criminal history registry that the state has and is looking to call the central background registry is a much more thorough and reliable system. And for this reason, Metro has been trying to gain access to the use of this system so that we can ensure the highest quality reference checks for those working with children that are entrusted to our care. The criminal history registry is the best because it has the most thorough search of databases. It's reliable. It utilizes highly accurate law enforcement databases. And what the others don't do is it includes a relevant records check for Child Protective Services agencies, which the others don't do. It's efficient, using multiple law enforcement databases. It screens rapidly people would who are already in the system. We could hire immediately. And it's also provides some legal protection both for the employee and for the organization in that it has predetermined measures for which it screens, and the criminal history screenings authorized under state law and conducted by the Child Care Division are conducted under stringent security regulations, which are exempt from disclosure under Oregon public records law. And unlike Metro, agencies authorized to conduct criminal history screenings under state law are immune from civil liability for the fitness determination and employment decisions made based on criminal history screenings. So these protections combine to assure a screening process that's private and fair, but also very stringent. So as you can see, for these reasons, the criminal history registry, soon to be central background registry, hopefully, not only protects children, but also it includes appropriate privacy protections for employees and the liability screen for the employers. And we think that those two considerations are extremely important also. As Metro, we've spent a long time investigating the options available to us. LEDS is a system that cities and counties have available if they have a law enforcement branch to them, which they do. Metro does not have that option available to us, as we don't have any law enforcement branches associated with Metro. All we're asking is access to this system that will help ensure the safety of these over 4,000 children entrusted to us. Every summer in the summer camps, we're aware of the state's budget. We are offering and proposing that we pay the cost of Metro's involvement in this program for any services we receive from it so that it's cost neutral to the state. The provisions, the amendments have a sunset clause, which is 2014. We feel that that's enough time for us to be a pilot for the state to see if it is workable to allow other agencies that are involved in the care of children to access this registry, and that during that period of time that we'll be able to show that it's cost neutral to the state and an effective means for other agencies to do background screenings. If it's not, the state finds out that for some reason that isn't the case, the provision sunsets it in 2014, so there's not a continued obligation. So with that, as I say, we're very committed to protecting the safety of the children. We're trying to utilize the best measures out there to do that and make it cost neutral to the state. So I appreciate your consideration of the amendments to this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Any questions of any of these witnesses? Representative Van Orman.
Thank you, Chair Tomei. I just have a comment. I have to agree that when I would tell people that I was in the criminal history registry, that it did sort of raise eyebrows and I'd have to explain why I was there. But I also have had a number of hearings recently about fingerprinting, and I would like to offer suggest, Tom, that you market what's been happening in the criminal history registry over these years, because I think it's one of the best systems we have. It's been very effective and well managed, and for $3, it's been a good buy.
Thank you, Representative. Appreciate it.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
May I make a couple of quick comments about the amendment itself? Randy Tucker, Legislative Affairs Manager for Metro. I just wanted to make sure that it's exactly clear what's in this amendment, and also to clarify, add a note about the discussions that we've been having with the Child Care Division. We've been working with them close to a year now in trying to figure out what our options might be, and for the last few months trying to develop these amendments that you see before you in the Dash 6. And the most of the key elements are right on page 1 there. G on line 5 is what gives us the ability to use what we hope will soon be called the Central Background Registry. Actually, we're neutral on that portion of the bill, but it's fine. Paragraph 9 in line 9 is the language that authorizes us to enter into an agreement with the Child Care Division in order to pay them back. And our discussions with them, the understanding is that we would actually pay up front based on the estimated cost of dealing with the number of people that we're talking about, which is about 400 people a year, the upfront cost would be based on the fiscal that the Child Care Division has developed. It's about $90 a head, or I think, you know, somewhere in the range of $36,000 total. And if the costs end up being more, we pay more. If they're less, we get money back. But the point is that the Child Care Division doesn't have to front the money at all, and they aren't allowed to do that anyway because of the source of their funding. Other than that, Section 3 has a line, or just one little additional paragraph on page 2, line 26, that was that allows the DHS to provide the information to the Child Care Division for the purpose of doing the checks that would be enabled or authorized under this bill. And then the rest of the language is what I thought was, I think many of us involved with this bill thought was a sort of a cumbersome way of doing a sunset, but they have to reproduce the entire bill and delete the language that was added and then make that deletion effective in 2014. So just to walk you through the amendment, I just wanted to explain all that. So I believe we have agreement about going forward with this with the DHS and Child Care Division, and urge you to support it when the opportunity arises after fiscal arrives.
Thank you. Yes, Representative Freeman.
Just real quick, thank you, Chair Tomei. So I understand what we're doing. When I read the original bill, it sounded like we were just changing the name of the registry. And now when I read the amendment, it appears like we're doing something entirely different. We're adding Metro to the use of it, so it's kind of like something different than what the original bill was. Is that why there's 11 pages of amendment and 2 pages of bill?
Madam Chair, Representative Freeman, that's correct. It's all of the amendment is, I mean, most of the amendment is the long sunset. And so all of the real substantive provisions of the bill are on page 1 and page 2. Nothing else, everything else in here is sunset. And so you're correct. It does two things. Two big things. One is it changes the name of the Criminal History Registry, and the other is it allows Metro access to the Criminal History Registry. Of course, we're just talking about the zoo, which is a division of Metro, or a service of Metro. We have other people that deal with children. We're not asking the Child Care Division to deal with them right now. We're just doing what we really think is necessary to deal with the programs at the zoo, where people have direct unsupervised access to children, and people are bringing their children to the zoo specifically for those programs to be in the care of the zoo. That's all we're talking about.
Great. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Olson.
Thank you. Mary or Randy, on this document on the second page, I'm just curious, you have on bullet number 3. It's cost-effective, but the second portion of that, the CHR enrolls most applicants with a simple law enforcement data system check for $3 fee. How's that fit in?
Let me try to address that, and then Tom can follow up if I botch it. I mentioned to Tom before we walked into the hearing, this document, I meant to explain, this piece, it says keeping kids safe, this whole page, this was developed early in the session for the Child Care Division when they were trying to ascertain what we're asking for and why, and they were also trying to figure out what it would cost. So this is our explanation to them of why we felt the Criminal History Registry was the appropriate tool for us. And I meant to clarify that $3 fee element, that's the cost to the applicants. That is not that's the price to the applicants. It's not the cost to the Child Care Division. It costs a lot more to do the service. Mm-hmm. We would be paying not the $3 fee. We'd be paying the full cost, and I don't think the details have been worked out as to whether we would charge our people $3 or they'd pay the $3 and we'd pay just the excess. But that'll all be subject to the agreement that we enter into with the Child Care Division. But that was just the $3 is not the relevant number, really. But as Representative Van Orman commented, I believe that's what she paid when she was registered, and that's what most applicants pay right now. I think the relevant thing is what we would be paying as Metro to cover the entire cost of the Child Care Division.
Follow up?
Does that answer your question?
I'm fine.
Okay.
Any further questions? Representative Hoffman.
Thank you. Just clarification. You said the cost was $90?
Madam Chair, Representative Huffman, that's what the fiscal that's been shown to us by the Child Care Division, which includes the cost of some contested case hearings should those arise, et cetera. So it's not, it's the total cost to the division that they would estimate just to make sure that they're covered. Tom, did you want to address that at all?
Madam Chair, Representative Huffman, yeah, the cost to us, the $3 fee that we charge our child care providers is heavily, heavily subsidized, and we do that because especially our registered family providers tend to have not much disposable income, and we want to make this as easy for them as possible. What we're dealing with here is an entirely different class of individual, one that's not necessarily subject. They're not child care providers. They're not subject to our statute, so we're sort of having to look at what it actually costs us, which we had started to do in the past, and it had come up to be a big number. We would never charge that to our child care providers. But in order to allow a group of subject individuals into the registry, we would need to recover actual cost. And that involves contested case hearings, perhaps. And in this particular case, there the likelihood that we think is possibly increased a bit, because what we're going to be doing is applying the test of someone who is capable of caring for 10 children in their own home to a group of volunteers. And so there may be some discrepancies there. Some folks may feel that they've been unfairly treated. But what we're going to do is work with Metro to actually recover the actual cost of contested case hearings. And I think rather than rolling that into our fiscal, we'll probably look at it in terms of them paying actual costs should a hearing occur, so that we can lower the cost across the board.
Kind of clarify one thing. We're mostly talking about employees here, not volunteers.
I'm sorry.
There could be some volunteers, but we're talking about people that are hired.
Right.
So,
follow up, Madam Chair. So the investigative part we're talking about is the OSP cost, which is like $47.25 or something like that. That's the actual hard cost of the background check, right?
Madam Chair, Representative Hussman, yes. The large cost here is the FBI. For folks that have lived out of the state within the last 18 months, or who turn up as a flag on our criminal history registry, at that point in time, we have to go in and not only do the FBI check, but then we have to do a fitness determination. And where our primary cost is in our background checks is not in the folks that have no criminal history in their background. That's easy. It's the folks that we see a flag on, and then we have to go in and sometimes ask for alcohol, drug abuse evaluations. We have to ask for some cases of psychological evaluations. Someone has to look at that and make a fitness determination based on the information in front of them. So that's really where the cost comes in terms of our criminal history checks, because we do it very thoroughly.
Follow up, Tom, is it possible for you to provide kind of a breakdown of what you're talking about, OSP, FBI. Would you mind? I would appreciate it, because this topic comes up an awful lot between education and human services. And we've, you know, we hear about the $3 cost and we hear about the 47. And I would just like to, since you deal with it a lot, you might be, I hate to pick on you, but if you could provide that, it'd be a big help.
Madam Chair, Representative Bussman, we're used to being picked on. That's great. And I would be happy to. We've actually done it. It's in our fiscal. So we'll break it out for you and exactly what our costs look like.
Okay, thanks.
Great. Representative Boone.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Randy, what about volunteers? Are your volunteers covered by this too, then?
Any volunteers, well, at the zoo, I mean, everything that would be covered by this would be subject to an agreement with the child care division. So we would, you know, have a number of people that would be determined in that agreement to make sure that the costs don't exceed what's been agreed. You know, I'm not as familiar with every program at the zoo. I know that most of what we're talking about are employees, not volunteers, but there probably are some volunteers. I don't know if there are any volunteers whose job basically up there is to have direct unsupervised access to children. Do you know that, Mary?
That's the distinction here, Madam Chair and Representative Boone, is that we're looking to use this service for those that have the unsupervised direct oversight of the children, whereas the volunteers are generally working with somebody else that's paid employee.
So, for instance, I mean, the zoo would love to run every employee through this, because every employee at some point comes into contact with children at the zoo, I mean, a janitor or anybody else. We're not talking about doing that. We're talking about the people who are hired to, you know, actually deal with children in the child care program, or people that are staff who are involved in one-on-one internships. For instance, the testimony indicates that Tony Vecchio's own son has an internship at the zoo working with a penguin keeper. That's a one-on-one relationship. That person would be screened. But that's an employee.
Any further questions? We don't have the fiscal side, so we will not be having a work session. Thank you. Yes,
I actually had a question. Collins. I'm sorry, I got sidetracked with something else. So sorry about that. My question, thank you for letting me get my brain working again here, was actually around, I'm not completely conversant in who all is eligible to use the existing system for providers, and I think the name change sounds like a reasonable thing to do. So I guess my question is, by doing the amendment that adds that opportunity for Metro and the zoo employees, then are we, is there a potential that there are other organizations who do similar things in terms of providing activities for children in the summertime and that sort of thing, who would find it less cumbersome to use, or perhaps more cost-effective to use, this methodology than the one they're currently using? And is there a provision for people to come back later and ask for that opportunity? I think is where my mind is going at this moment.
Madam Chair, Representative Collin, yes. Short answer. This does obviously open the door for other folks to come in and request the same sort of service that Metro is requesting.
And follow-up, Madam Chair? So in the process, then, of sort of reviewing the actual cost of doing this service and developing essentially a fee system for Metro, you'd have that information available so that you'd be able to tell others who might be interested what it would actually cost them?
Madam Chair, Representative Collin, yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Any further questions? All right, thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
We look forward to seeing the fiscal. With that, I will close the public hearing on House Bill 2207. That it?
That's it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any sessions help? Any things from the good of the order? Let's hope that Representative Boone gets over her cough.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Give you a few minutes to yourselves. And close the House Committee on Human Services.